So think for a minute. What is one thing that really makes you feel alive? Something exhilarating. Maybe it's something very, very quiet. Maybe it's something with having a world-changing idea. Maybe it's having a home-changing idea. Whatever that thing is, as long as it's something good, uplifting, instead of something greedy or harmful, it's worth pouring yourself into. It's really worth pouring yourself into that thing. What's something, instead of making you feel alive, you feel like it really holds you back? Maybe that's a harder question. And I wonder, maybe is it the same thing that is exhilarating, quiet, world-changing, home-changing? What holds you back from pouring yourself really into that thing that makes you feel alive? Here's this week's reading. Jesus saw through the mask that the rich person wore. That person followed the rules, followed them well. That person probably did much good, too. But Jesus saw this person's wealth as something that was holding them back. Because too much money holds people back. Not enough money holds people back sometimes. The endless pursuit of money holds people back all the time. Running out of money holds people back. Yeah. So what are we to do? We see it here at St. Paul's. We see it outside of these walls. We see it in our homes. We see it in our lives. Why does money complicate things so much? Why does it make things possible? Why does it hold things back? And I wonder what it means to look beyond it. We have to look at it. We have to understand it. We have to know it. But what does it mean to look beyond it? And that's not a question I can completely answer, but it's a question to ponder this week, next week. Jesus told this rich person to sell everything and then follow him. And that person couldn't do it because they had so much. They weren't ready to give up their stuff and let Jesus be the center. I don't think any of us are willing to give up our stuff and let Jesus be the center. Could be any one of us in this story. And then Jesus said that line, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter God's realm." And then people were astounded, confused, and I'm sure the debate began and the rabbis started talking, and we're still talking about it today. Camel through a needle's eye? Caleb didn't understand it. Yeah, he can't mean that. Must be one of those things that means something else. Jesus likes to do that. Bible readers and Bible scholars have talked about this one for years, and some really have come up with this explanation. They say that the eye of the needle is the name for the small door where a person could enter the city after the large gate has been closed. It's large enough to walk through, but a loaded down camel would not make it through. I actually saw an actor do this before. They carried this further. He said that the only way a camel could make it through the eye of the needle would be if it got rid of all the baggage and then stooped down on its knees and virtually crawled through the door. That's a beautiful visual. It's only if we're willing to strip off all of the baggage that we carry with us, really crouch down and just move through, that we'll make it. And that makes sense. It's a beautiful visual, and I love that visual, and that story works that way. But that's the problem. It makes sense, and it's possible. That could happen. When we just think further than we had before, that could happen. Jesus was talking about something different, though. He was talking about something that was truly impossible. The disciples asked it, well, then who could make it in? And Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. So when Jesus talked about a camel through a needle's eye, I think he was really talking about a camel and the eye of a sewing needle. Something totally impossible. Totally impossible. But not impossible for God. I don't know how, but not impossible. Because God is the God of making the impossible possible. Haven't we heard that before? We ever believe it? God will be what the future requires. That's God's name. I am. The Hebrew verb, I am who I am. I will be what the future requires. And God is a God of generosity. God is not a God of holding on to stuff. God calls on us. You know, I don't think that God calls on us to be the rich person in this story and strip off everything or get rid of everything or do the impossible all the time. We can live out the impossible, sure. But God offers hope when we wonder, how are we going to do this? Whatever that thing is, and God says, you can do this, I'm with you. If it's good and it changes the world and it's something that you want to pour yourself into it. And God says, you can do this, I'm with you. And we heard our announcements today. We're entering stewardship season and we're finishing up a year and things are not going great financially at the church. And stewardship season is where people start getting nervous because there's not enough. It's a season where we say it's time to step up and meet our obligations. It's a season where we announce that we'll receive estimates of giving, time and talent cards. That's Sunday, November 15th, by the way. But it's also a season where we can trust in the promise that God has wonderful plans for St. Paul's UCC. I agree that God does not want St. Paul's to shut down or to fail. God has great plans for what we are doing and what we're going to continue to do. Here's the thing that's so important. We can trust in the promise. And we can be generous in our giving to the ministries of the church. We can. We really, really can. We can trust in the promise as we give our time and our talents, our efforts. We can trust in the promise as we give of money and resources. Yes. And in those things, and in all things that we do, God's promise is with us, and God offers hope and says, you can do this, I'm with you. You know, the impossible is more than money, I know. The impossible is, how do we, the church, continue to act as people of love and justice in a world where, oh my goodness, there's too much. There's too much not love and justice. There's too much violence. I mean, all over. We've gotten to a point where when we see a report of a school shooting, we go, another one. as if we're numb to it. Gotten to a point when we see reports of bombings in Afghanistan or violence somewhere else in the world, we're numb to it and we say, oh, another one? I just don't know what to do. Gotten to a point where you see someone else arrested for some kind of insider trading or companies failing because one or two people or three people took all the money basically and left everyone else holding the bag. We go, oh, well, that's kind of the way it works, and we've seen it so much before, and it's just numb to it. I think we live in a world where all of that is the norm. And being a people of love and kindness and justice and changing the world the way Jesus said to change the world, by loving one another, by stripping off all the baggage that we have and focusing on loving one another, that things will get better. And it seems impossible. But I do believe that God has a way of making the impossible possible. And yes, we've started, and we can't stop. We're a little church, littler than we thought, but we're a church that can make a difference in the world and in the pews. We're a church that can make a difference in the lives of people as they're home and can't come to church, or if they're in a hospital, or they're having a bad day. We're the church that can make a difference in the lives of people who haven't ever darkened the doors of this building, or who may never darken the doors of this building. Because we're not called to just save our skin, we're called to make a difference in the world. We're called to strip off that baggage, follow Jesus, and be love wherever we go. So over the next several weeks, consider all of that. Consider those things that really make you feel alive. Consider the things that hold you back. Consider the things that make the congregation feel alive, that hold the congregation back. And let's bring all of that to God. And let's be willing to trust in the promise that God will give us the ability to make a difference. To be love, to give generously, to pray boldly, to look at our brothers and sisters not in disdain, but in love, to not think only about this building, but everywhere, to not think only about everywhere, but also this building and these people. We can trust in the promise that God will give us the ability to do it all. Really? Yes, really. Amen.